Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Shotgun snap, drops back five, got the block. They come on the side, he winds up, he throws a long pass. Wide open Hill, catches the ball at the 22 of San Francisco. What a play by Mahomes!
NFL Live, weekdays at 7 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Presented by Easton Roofing and Miller Lite.
Kansas City has won their first Super Bowl in 50 years. 50 years, a lifetime!
Hello and welcome into NFL Live KC. I'm Allie Trost, your host on this Wednesday edition of the show here tonight on Sports Radio 810 WHB, brought to you by our friends at Miller Lite. Miller Lite, the original light beer brewed with great taste and only 96 calories. And we've got a jam-packed show today, starting with some breaking news. Damian Williams, the Chiefs running back, a huge catalyst in their Super Bowl win in 2020 against the San Francisco 49ers, has decided to opt out of the 2020 NFL season. So we will get into some of that, as well as play some audio from Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the rookie running back that the Chiefs drafted at number 32 in the first round in this year's NFL draft. Hear what he had to say over the weekend. And how those words carry a bit more weight now that we know Damian Williams' decision. We also talk with Ben Heisler of Sports Illustrated. He does a ton of great work analyzing the fantasy side of things as well as the gambling side, and we get into a lot of fantasy football stuff. An interview between Kyle Brandt and Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers talking about draft night for Aaron Rodgers as the Packers traded up to select potentially his replacement in Jordan Love out of Utah State. So that's what's coming up on the show here tonight, but let's talk some Damian Williams. The news came out earlier today that he is opting out of the 2020 season. And in a statement from general manager Brett Veach, he said, "As an organization, we certainly understand and respect Damian's choice, knowing it was made in the best interest of his family. He means a lot to our football team as a player and a person, and we're going to miss having him around this season." First off, just want to say that this is a decision not only made by Damian Williams, but one that's being made across the league by a lot of different players and a lot of different positions for a lot of different reasons, and is not one that's being made lightly by any means. And I've seen a lot of hate from people in the comments getting angry or trashing players for deciding not to play this season. And this is a personal choice for players to make. It's one that the NFL is letting them make. And I respect it. I think, you know, you have to look at the bigger picture. Football, hopefully for everyone, is not your world. It's certainly a very fun part of our world, but it shouldn't be, at the expense of the health of a loved one. So big props to Damian Williams for making the decision that he felt was best for him and his family. And now we look at how things look in the running back room for the Chiefs. Williams was certainly the presumed starter going into this season. After earning the trust of Coach Andy Reid, he's a six-year veteran in the league, has been absolutely phenomenal for the Chiefs, especially in the last two postseasons. He became the first player to run for more than 100 yards while scoring, rushing, and receiving touchdowns, and tied a Super Bowl record with his two fourth-quarter touchdowns against the 49ers that were crucial in the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. Mahomes may have gotten the MVP, but Damian Williams was a close second. And now this room looks a lot different. The snaps will fall more on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the rookie. But then let's look at the rest of the running backs that the Chiefs have going into this season. DeAndre Washington, an offseason acquisition who used to play with Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech, played for the now Las Vegas Raiders. He will be joining the team this season. Daryl Williams, another player, and Darwin Thompson, who still has a lot to prove, but that's your running back room now. Young, but there is depth, at least. And yes, the loss of Damian Williams, a huge hole for the Chiefs going into 2020, but now it's going to be all eyes on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, for better or for worse. But it sounds like he is taking the responsibility and is ready for the opportunity. And here's what he had to say this last weekend on Saturday when talking with the media about learning the playbook so far and his role in pass protection.
I've only been on the earth for 21 years. I've been playing football since I was five. So this is what I do. And I can't wait. Everything, the setup, everything about everything here is just perfect for me. And I can't wait. The playbook, it was, you know, as far as not having to do school and everything, it was the playbook. I feel like it's easy. I've had, you know, offensive coordinators, multiple offenses I had to learn year in, year out. So, I mean, this is, you know, this is nothing new. Just learning a new offense and then adjusting to the players around me.
Clyde, a lot of times we'll hear, you know, maybe a year or two down the road, and running backs have come through and they don't play, and then they start playing, and coaches don't really say anything about why they're not playing after the fact. They say, well, you really kind of struggle with the pass protections. You talked about the playbook, not having to have school, have football be your focus, that it's been pretty easy, but do they come at you right now? I'm curious what they tell you going into it. We hear that after the fact. Now that you're going into it, how much do they stress the fact that you got to protect the quarterback, that the blocking part of the equation is as much as what you do with the ball in your hands?
That's I've never looked down on pass protection. That's literally half of my job, and that's been instilled in me since I was younger. And ultimately, that's something that I knew that I would have to do in the NFL, and it's something I'm going to do in the NFL, and it's something that I practice and train for every day in and day out in college. So it's my job. I'm going to execute. I'm going to do what I need to do as far as protect Pat and. That's it. I'm going to protect him like he's a brother, which is he is.
So there is Chiefs rookie running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the Chiefs' number 32 pick, the first rounder that they selected in this year's NFL draft, talking to the media this past weekend on Saturday. And I don't know if he could have said anything more that as a Chiefs fan or as a coach, if you're Andy Reid, I don't know if you could have said anything else there that wouldn't have you convinced that he's ready to go, saying that the playbook is easy. I mean, this is the mind of Andy Reid. This is one of the most creative offensive minds in the game of football. And he's saying, you know, hey, I've been playing this game my whole life and this is what I do. And I'm picking it up pretty well. This is pretty easy. That is usually the biggest hurdle for rookies to overcome starting out their careers, is just getting the playbook down and understanding their assignments, where they're supposed to be on the field. For Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that is as a weapon for Patrick Mahomes in the passing game and the run game, and then pass protection, protecting Mahomes. He's never looked down. I mean, that this is someone who is taking this very seriously. Joe Burrow, after their championship season at LSU, said Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the best player that he's ever played with. And that potential, I just think, is going to be completely unlocked at this next level with the combination of Clyde Edwards-Helaire and his talents, Patrick Mahomes, Eric Bieniemy, and Coach Reid. This could not be a better scenario or situation for him. And then to hear his response to Seren Petro's question there about pass protection and keeping Patrick Mahomes safe. I don't know if there's anything more that you could want or anything that could convince you from at least a verbal standpoint, anything more that he could say that would convince you that he's ready to go. Now it's just going to be a matter of what is shown on the football field, which in training camp is going to be a huge storyline now going forward as Clyde Edwards-Helaire prepares to very likely be running back number one. We're going to take a break. You are listening to NFL Live KC on Sports Radio 810 WHB, brought to you by Miller Lite. And on the other side of the break, we are talking fantasy football and more with Ben Heisler of Sports Illustrated, SI Fantasy and SI Gambling, the impact of COVID-19, how this thing might look, and a lot more. So that's coming up on the other side of the break here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Joining us now on NFL Live KC for our Miller Lite feature of the show is Sports Illustrated fantasy and gambling analyst Ben Heisler. Ben, how's it going?
What's up, Allie? Good to be on with you. Good to talk some football and some life. It's good to have that conversation.
Let's start with what your role is at Sports Illustrated and what you do there.
My role is about 1,000 pages long, it feels like, but I've really enjoyed it. I've started there since the end of May. I'm running a lot of the different things on the fantasy side and on the gambling side. And I think if anybody's listening that's saying, well, how are those two related? They're related in more ways than you think. So much, especially when you're playing daily fantasy, is all about determining where a lot of the different numbers are coming from, where you're going to strategize to try and determine what lineups you want to go with, if you're going to be stacking teams. What teams has had a solid over-under total? Which teams are being steamed in the right direction from Vegas? So these are all different ways that are being paired together. And it's nice to sort of be at the intersection of both sports betting and sports fantasy. So I do a variety of roles, host a lot of videos, podcasts. I'm an analyst for SI's fantasy coverage for football, for baseball. And on the gambling side, it's trying to determine sort of the best plays of the day and sort of see where a lot of the movement and the sharp action is going.
Well, let's focus on NFL because this show is NFL Live, Casey, and we're going to do a lot of Chiefs and NFL talk throughout this segment here. But I think one of the biggest questions ahead of the 2020 season is just how much the coronavirus could change fantasy football and sports betting. What can you tell us about all of the uncertainty ahead with this novel virus?
I think we're starting to see it already, right? Think about how the first cases broke out in Miami with the Marlins just a few days ago on Sunday. They had, you know, maybe 3-4 diagnosed cases, and the Marlins had to come up with an evaluation based on what baseball decided that they should do. And they said, well, we're still going to play and we're going to try and get those other guys out of there. Now the Marlins have 17 confirmed cases of coronavirus, and you're already starting to see that their entire week has been postponed of the MLB schedule. And that's going to affect the other teams that are involved as well. Now you have football where you have guys just breathing right on top of each other. And you're going to see situations where it's going to spread very, very quickly. I don't know how, Allie, they're going to be able to find a way to pull this off unless they come to a last minute bubble type of agreement where they play in a couple of the different stadiums in maybe Los Angeles, or then bring the San Diego stadium back as well and try to figure out maybe something to do in an area where they can actually isolate themselves. But I think you're starting to see a little bit of what that initial inclination might look like and how it's going to work. And especially from the betting side and from the fantasy side, I think more than ever, it is going to be critical to follow for last minute breaking news. You're going to have situations where, let's say you draft Ezekiel Elliott with the number 4 overall pick in the first round. Reliable, consistent back, someone that's been there for the last several years that you can know you can plug and play. What if Ezekiel Elliott tests positive for Corona? It could happen by not necessarily any fault of his own. So having depth in your fantasy teams is important. Following beat writers, you can get that little bell on Twitter that tells you when somebody has some breaking news. Adam Schefter from ESPN. All those guys are going to be so important to follow and make sure that you're on top of it so that you can make moves and adapt. You can't just set it and forget it this year with your fantasy teams.
That is such a good point. I mean, I feel like everyone already is so plugged in, but more so than ever before, it's going to be crucial for how your team performs, because if a player is unavailable, then, I mean, it just is going to shake everything up. And I have no idea what that is going to look like exactly yet. But when it comes to the players opting out, I mean, how does that change how the boards are playing out? There haven't been any high profile players yet to opt out, but how do you see that potentially changing the landscape here in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think maybe one key offensive player has been Brandon Bolden with the Patriots, who saw his role get elevated probably to like the number 3 running back. But again, it's the Patriots. So they have 1,000 different guys in that role anyway. You know, there's been some potential early reports that Nick Foles of the Chicago Bears might consider opting out. His wife is autoimmune compromised. Certainly that's something that, you know, I'm very aware of, you know, over at home, knowing sort of what the coronavirus can do. But I just think it's another one of those situations, Allie, where you're going to see a lot of bench players, guys that maybe we would consider as sort of a late round flyer in like the 14th or your 15th round of your fantasy leagues, or maybe just the players that are hanging on to the waiver wire, where you normally wouldn't have much use for them, but they could get thrust into a starting role from the very beginning. So it is going to be essential to watch where a lot of these opt-outs are coming in, because I think players have until beginning of August to make that determination. So I would probably wait until the opt-outs come in before I'm drafting in a league. But for anybody that's drafting earlier, definitely something to pay attention to.
That's so interesting. And that's such a good point too, with diversifying from the teams that you're even picking and having players make up your roster, because like you said, an outbreak could happen. But let's get into the Chiefs, because people in Kansas City, I'm sure, will be looking to add value with some of the Kansas City players, and starting with some of the skill position players like Tyreek, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman. Where do they stack up right now compared to other players in their position across the league?
Definitely. So let's start with the man, the $500 million man in Pat Mahomes. although I don't know if you necessarily wanted to go there, but we can start with him anyway. He's the number one quarterback off the board for me. And normally in fantasy leagues, I try to wait on quarterbacks because if you look at the actual point value at the position, there's not much of a difference between quarterback 3 and quarterback 11 most of the time. Now, the last 2 years, Mahomes has blown that out of the water. Same thing with Lamar Jackson a season ago. They just completely obliterated where the usual projections are. So I think Mahomes and then Lamar Jackson for me, and then Dak Prescott round out that 1-2. But there's such a gap, Allie, between Lamar and Dak, upwards of maybe 2.5 rounds when it comes to your average draft position. So I think Mahomes, if you want to take him maybe in the mid to late third round, that's probably fair value. The thing is, in Kansas City, most likely he'll be gone by then, so you probably have to reach for them. Other skill positions, Tyreek Hill. I think a lot of fantasy players might be feeling a little bit burned by him based on the injuries a season ago. That's not really fair. Yeah. Based on that offense, though, you can make a legitimate argument that after Michael Thomas with the Saints, after Devontae Adams with the Packers, he's in that conversation for the number 3, number 4 wide receiver off the board. And that's among the mix of DeAndre Hopkins and Julio Jones. He's not going to get the amount of targets that those guys do just because the Chiefs spread it around. But he's the clear-cut number 1 receiving option in this offense, and it's the best offense in the league. So I think you can make an argument that based on efficiency alone, Tyreek Hill belongs in the conversation. And I think he's a very valuable first-round pick. Travis Kelce, probably my number 2 tight end off the board. And a lot of people might say, well, he's been the number 1 tight end the last 3 years. What's changed? He still has Mahomes, likely back for a full 16 games. I give the slight edge to George Kittle because he's a little bit younger. Kelce hasn't hit any sort of injury concerns yet. He's starting to approach the wrong side of 30. And I just think Kittle is going to, I was going to say I'm on the wrong side of 30 now, so who am I to talk? But George Kittle, I think, is going to see much more volume this year. The 49ers are going to have to pass more. Their defense is going to take a step back. We saw the regression happen with the Bears a couple seasons ago. I think you're going to see the same thing with the 49ers this year. And I think that just elevates Kittle because there's no other weapons around him that match up to what Kansas City has. So Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, still upward top tier targets, but I like Hill just a little bit more than Kelce this year.
And then Mecole Hardman, the rookie who had a great season last year despite having a limited number of snaps. Where do you envision him coming into play this season and what his draft value is?
He's so hard to project, Allie, because the efficiency numbers were off the chain. It was part of the reason for the first few years that I faded Tyreek Hill. Now, I look like an idiot because of it, but I always thought, okay, I want my wide receivers to get a ton of volume, especially if you're playing, you know, in a points per reception, a PPR league. You want those guys just to get fed the football as much as humanly possible. And then you had Tyreek, who was just changing the dynamic of how he was going after the deep ball, how he was continuing to have maximum yards after the catch. And it completely changed the way that we looked at him as a part of that conversation. You know, with Mecole Hardman, he's only going to see the field about maybe 40, 50% of the snaps. DeMarcus Robinson actually is on the field more often than Mecole Hardman. The difference is that when Mecole is on the field, he's able to get in a few different targets. He's able to maximize his efficiency. So I think he's worth a flyer. You know, if you're looking for high upside wide receivers, especially if Watkins or Tyreek Hill go down, then all of a sudden Mecole Hardman gets inserted in and he becomes a dynamic factor. He's probably not going until the 11th, 12th round in most fantasy drafts. I think that's probably the likely place for him. And again, too, this is a position with so much depth at the wide receiver spot that I don't think you necessarily need to reach on somebody like Mecole Hardman unless you believe that it's just going to line up well for him just because of how other injury concerns can happen in the NFL.
We're going to take a break and we'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Ben, another thing I think is interesting with fantasy drafts each year is overvalued players versus sleepers. So who's your biggest sleeper and most overrated, overhyped player for fantasy this year?
We'll start with the overvalued guy. I have some major concerns this year when it comes to Austin Eckler. I'm a big Austin Eckler fan with the Chargers. I think his skill set is dynamic in this league. He caught, I think, 94 passes a season ago. But it also came from Phillip Rivers, who was one of the best at checking down to running backs in the league. And with Tyrod Taylor, I just don't know if that's going to happen as much this year. Austin Eckler is going upwards in the end of the first round, early second round. And I do have some concerns as to whether or not he's going to live up to that type of value. If we're looking for a couple guys to bounce back at the running back spot, as far as sleepers go, James Conner with Pittsburgh is really intriguing to me. He's going off the board as the running back 22 on the board for a guy that gets a ton of volume in Pittsburgh's offense. Mike Tomlin has said they like running backs to get three down work. And the guys that are going around them, Raheem Mostert, David Johnson, Melvin Gordon, Jonathan Taylor, who may not be the starter in Indianapolis, those guys aren't going to be the number one starters, and James Conner is. So if he can stay healthy, he has running back one upside, which is, you know, running back one through running back 12. One other guy really quickly, Darius Geis with the Washington football team. He's somebody that has not been able to stay on the field, and injuries have just been really costly to him. But Ron Rivera is their new head coach. Christian McCaffrey just played in that offense the last several years, and they've even noticed some similar comparisons within his ability to break tackles and catch the ball out of the backfield. If you get Darius Geis right now, you can get him in the seventh or eighth round. He has running back one upside. That's where they drafted him. And so if you can go ahead and take a flyer on somebody like that, assuming he stays healthy, assuming with his ability to catch passes, I think that's really exceptional value.
A lot of great insight here. I will definitely be going back and listening to this, taking notes when I'm putting together my fantasy team. The Chiefs' defense really surprised people last season and seemed to get better as the weeks went on. When you look at the Chiefs' defense, how do they stack up against the rest of the league? And now that defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo is going into his second year with the team.
They were terrific down the stretch of the season, and I don't think a lot of people give them credit. I think they look at the overall body of work and say, this is probably, you know, a top 6 to 10 defense, when I think they have the ability to be top 5. It's just, again, going to be dependent on their injury situation. Chris Jones coming back is such a big move for them. To be able to have him and Frank Clark as part of that 4-3 defense is really intriguing. You still have Tyrann Mathieu making plays in the backfield as well. I'm excited about where they rank, because I actually think there's good value on them. Right now, the Chiefs are coming in as the fantasy eight defense off the board. They're going just ahead of Denver and just before the New Orleans Saints. Now, typically, I like to change out defenses every week. I like to play the matchups, but a lot of people like, all right, I want to get my stud defense. I want to get the Chiefs. I want to get the Ravens or the Steelers or the 49ers. And again, that's perfectly fine. But, you know, with Kansas City, I think a lot of people are going to sleep on them because they're going to see some of those bad numbers from the first part of the season and know that they have a terrific pass rush, know that they have the ability to force turnovers, get some big interceptions. You know, somebody like Tyrann Mathieu makes such a big difference when it comes to adding up fantasy points on the defensive side. So I probably won't draft the Chiefs defense. I'm usually not spending a lot of draft capital with defenses or kickers for that matter, but I totally understand why somebody would, because I think they have a chance, even though they're being drafted in the top 10, to be a top 5 fantasy defense this year.
Okay, speaking of kickers before we move on, Harrison Butker has really moved his way into potentially being one of the best in the league at his position. Where does he stack up? And you said you don't spend a lot of draft capital there, but for someone who might, how is Harrison Butker as a pick?
He's the number one pick off the board with this type of offense. I think, you know, maybe you can make an argument for Justin Tucker of the Baltimore Ravens. Both the Chiefs and the Ravens offense are going to be awesome this year. And they're both terrific, accurate kickers with a lot of range as well. So you can flip-flop between Butker and Justin Tucker. Will Lutz of the New Orleans Saints is probably number 3 on that list. And then after that, it's just a complete and total toss-up. So if you want to spend a little early capital on Harrison Buttkicker on buttkicker.com, you know, I probably wouldn't advise it, but I would also understand it just because he's been a stud.
Yeah, no, you can't deny his impact on the field, but I'm with you. Maybe not the best advice to go early, but if in your draft he's there, might not be a bad pickup. We are visiting with Ben Heisler of Sports Illustrated for our Miller Lite feature of the show here tonight. And now I want to get your thoughts on a storyline that's really piqued your interest as it relates to fantasy football, because there have been some crazy moves. I mean, Cam Newton to the Patriots, and that's just one of many others. What storyline are you following, especially as it relates to fantasy drafts?
Well, besides the ones that we talked about of who's deciding to be opting out, you know, where exactly a lot of these waiver wire pickups are going to come on, I think the quarterback position is probably where I'm focused on the most. You brought up Cam Newton. That's a fascinating angle. Cam Newton in 2018 was on pace to be the number four fantasy quarterback in the league, and then he got hurt. The shoulder went completely haywire, and he couldn't complete a pass. They ended up sitting him for the rest of the year, and we saw what happened last year. What type of Cam are we going to get in New England? Are they going to maximize his strengths? Are they going to allow him to run? You know, part of what made Cam so special and to rack up fantasy points was he was somebody that could extend plays, be able to get touchdowns in the red zone, get an extra 6 points as a running touchdown instead of 4 points as a passing touchdown. So I'm fascinated to see what Cam Newton in New England is going to look like. I don't think they're the weapons around him are necessarily that great. Julian Edelman is 1,000 years old and their running game isn't particularly intriguing, but he has back end quarterback one upside in New England. It'll just be a question of whether or not the weapons around him will be enough and whether or not he's truly healthy. And then I want to know whether or not Lamar Jackson can do it again. I am on team Lamar, Allie, because I think that skill set in that offense with Greg Roman is special. He has a ton of confidence. He has really good receivers and Mark Andrews and Marquise Brown around him. There's a ton of versatility. They have incorporated a really good running game. They drafted J.K. Dobbins out of Ohio State, who I think has an opportunity to be a stud with Mark Ingram in the backfield this year. Their offense runs really well through him. But he was also insanely efficient last year. And I don't know whether or not that's going to be the case. I don't know whether or not his body will be able to hold up from all those hits. So I'm buying on him. But I need to make sure that he can do it for another consecutive year. And I think a lot of the public is curious to find that out as well. So quarterbacks, those will be the big opportunities. And one more, I think Kyler Murray in year number two with the big trade of DeAndre Hopkins now in Arizona. Cardinals are kind of a sneaky team, especially with the Rams after a lot of their spotlight in LA has started to move down the side a little bit. So I think Arizona has a chance to make a little bit of noise if their defense can improve. But Kyler Murray, we've seen the last 2 years, second-year quarterbacks win the MVP. Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and now Kyler Murray might be a sneaky MVP candidate here in 2020.
When we look at how the coronavirus pandemic is going to impact the gambling world, which I'll be honest, I don't know too much about, what can you tell us about what is going to occur this season and maybe how that will impact the next couple of years to come?
It's going to be fascinating. And especially, I think you're going to see two waves when it comes from a sports betting perspective. You know, most of the lines, let's, you know, keep it in the NFL. Most of the early lines are coming out Sunday night from the sports books once most of the games are done. You know, the Westgate out in Las Vegas is one of those sports books that really tries to get the lines out early. I think you're going to see it in two different ways. You're going to see a lot of sharp bettors attack a line early the way that they typically do, because that's how the line tends to move. It's where the money comes in. It's not necessarily the amount of bets that come in. It's where the money goes. Follow the money, and that likely leads you into determining where the proper line should be. I think you're still going to see that from a lot of sharp bettors. Now, I also believe you are going to see Vegas probably have to take some games off the board, especially as more information comes out. Let's say the Cowboys are playing the Eagles, and we talked about Ezekiel Elliott. Let's say Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott, 3 hours before the game, test positive for the coronavirus. If they're in Philadelphia, let's say it's an evenly matched game, that makes the Eagles probably -3 favorites at home. All of a sudden, if those guys are out, you could see the line jump maybe upwards of 4 or 5 points. So that's the value for the sharp bettors that got on that line early if they have that early information. But for the public, you know, the public's going to have to adjust on the fly as well. If they hear that Dallas's quarterback and running back are out, then they're immediately going to want to jump on the Eagles, and that's going to provide more liability. So I think you're going to see more sports books probably take a more conservative approach until they really feel like they have a better handle on this. But I know that they need the action right now, certainly with coronavirus playing a role there. That's taken away some of their opportunities to bet in person. But you're going to see more sports books really be careful on this, because the more inside information that starts to come in, that could be very damaging to their bottom line.
Yeah, that's a great point. And again, just so much uncertainty ahead of a season too for the NFL. If we're looking at, you know, that league specifically, there were already so many great things to look for just on the football field alone with the draft and some of the changes that were made and trades that happened during the offseason. And now you throw this into the mix as well. It's going to be absolutely insane. Ben, thank you so much for the time. Where can people find your work and follow along for more fantasy and gambling tips?
Yeah, I appreciate it, Allie. They can find me on the tweet machine at Benny Heiss. And you can also go to si.com/fantasy or si.com/gambling. We have probably upwards of 4 to 6 stories coming out every day. Some of our insiders on the fantasy side are some of the best fantasy players in the world. I would not put myself amongst them. That's why I have the privilege of working with them. Somebody like Sean Childs has been one of the high stakes winners in the fantasy football world championships the last several years. He has brilliant projections. So I love the fact that I can learn a little bit from him each day as well. And then some of our gambling information has been terrific as well. So there's plenty of content, SI Fantasy, SI Gambling. So yeah, Allie, there's a ton of content that we have each and every day. It's always a lot of fun, especially with so much happening all at once. You have the NBA about to come back. Same with the NHL, Major League Baseball in the full swing of things, hopefully. And then of course, NFL is our bread and butter. So it's always a ton of fun, especially with so much happening all at once.
It's going to be a blast, and we will be following along for sure, and we'll have to have you on again here soon. That was Ben Heisler of Sports Illustrated right here on NFL Live KC. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to NFL Live KC. I'm Allie Trost, your host here on this Wednesday edition of the show on Sports Radio 810 WHB, brought to you by our friends at Miller Lite. A big thanks to Ben Heisler in the last two segments there for his incredible insight into the gambling and fantasy world. You can follow along with all of the amazing analysis that he puts out on Sports Illustrated, SI Fantasy, SI Gambling, at Benny Heiss on Twitter. And something interesting that came out following our conversation earlier today and following the news that Damian Williams is opting out of the 2020 NFL season, Caesars has now shifted its odds for Clyde Edwards-Helaire following that move, and he is now gone from 250-1 to 75-1 to win the NFL MVP, 75-1 to 20-1 to win rushing title, and 11-2 to 4-1 to win offensive rookie of the year. So all the pressure on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And now we're going to throw it over to another one of Ben's colleagues. We all kind of work together in some way, shape, or form. Joshua Briscoe, the man of many talents, many jobs, and one of which is here at this radio station hosting almost entirely sports. Joshua Briscoe is up right here next on NFL Live KC with an update.
Thank you, Allie, and I'm glad you mentioned those numbers from Clyde Edwards-Helaire and the odds there that you laid out. I would not touch any of those except for now, maybe Offensive Rookie of the Year. I was pretty bullish on his numbers before today, and maybe bearish, I think. I don't know how the stock market works, but I was down on his numbers, his projections until today, and now things have really opened up. And of course, we will talk about that ad nauseum tonight on Almost Entirely Sports here, starting in about 15 or 20 minutes or so. But in the meantime, this is usually where I bring you a clip you may have missed today, and the thing you may have missed was Jeff Chedia of the NFL Network and NFL.com. He was on the Border Patrol this morning here on Sports Radio 810. And this was obviously before Damian Williams' news came out, but it was talking about players opting out. And I think even now that we know that Damian Williams has joined the fray, it's still interesting to kind of see where the NFL has headed here. So here's Jeff Chedia talking about players opting out and also the fact that there have been a ton of New England Patriots, although Chedia is not convinced that means much of anything.
I don't think that specifically is a Patriots issue. I think that, I talked to, did a radio interview earlier in the week, and somebody asked me, I think it was right after Duvernay Tardif had opted out. I think it was on Monday. And he asked me, what do you expect? And I said, look, man, I think we just don't know what everybody's health history is. We don't know what their situation is. We don't know what their fear level is. And this is serious. I know there's always a debate about, you know, how critical this is and how it's affecting people's lives, and the death toll isn't as big as people make it out to be. And but end of the day, it's like everybody's got to decide how they want to deal with it. And so what I see more of, and maybe I haven't looked at everybody, I saw more bigger players opting out, which I thought might be the case, where obesity levels and high BMI are factors in this virus and how you get it or how vulnerable you are to it. So I'm not surprised. And in fact, we have, until August 4th for everybody else to opt out if they're going to do it. So I think you're going to see a lot more players, a lot more teams have happened what the Patriots have happened, where you're going to have multiple players do it.
I think part of what Steven said, I can't remember who tweeted this out yesterday, but they quoted like a rival GM that said, I feel like the Patriots are up to something. like I don't know what it is, but yeah, like
Bill Belichick signed a bunch of guys.
Bill Belichick's always thinking one step ahead, of everybody. So what's he up to now? Six guys are already opting out on his team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
tanking for Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I don't know if I see it that seriously. Again, when you have a Pro Bowl linebacker opt out and legitimate reasons. I mean, his mom has type 2 diabetes. The fiance and he have a baby coming in. Patrick Chung's been around for a while. I mean, the one guy that I thought was kind of weird was Brandon Bolden because he's in a contract year, the running back. But, you know, he's not their biggest name running back. Marcus Cannon is a cancer survivor. Everybody who did it had a legitimate reason to do it. And so I don't think it's, again, a Patriot-centric thing. I think it's just more the world we're living in right now. This is going to be an issue throughout the entire season. And all you have to do is look at what happened in baseball. They played three games and the whole world fell apart. You know, all of a sudden you got 17 players or 15 players on one team.
It's up to 18 now, 18 members of the team,
right.
Anyway.
Yeah, okay. There's three front office or people that are staff members, but there's 15 players, I believe.
Yeah, okay, so I think just the opting out part is just the beginning of it, because we're going to get into the season, and you're going to see, maybe not to those levels, maybe to those levels, but you're going to see teams have multiple outbreaks, teams having to sit guys for multiple reasons because, and I've said this before too, NBA, NHL, soccer, you're playing in a bubble.
Yep.
And you can control what guys do. You have a lot more restrictions, and you're basically hardwiring guys to live a certain way. When you're playing a game on Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, and you go home for a full week, you're with your family, you're with your girlfriends, you're with your side piece, you're with your kids, you're with all these different people who have are living their own lives. They're doing their own things. And when kids start going back to school, whenever that is, then you've got to come back to that as well. So there's just so many variables that play into it. And yeah, look, it's great to say the right thing. Hey, we got to be responsible away from here. But you can't be responsible for everybody. And that's the whole point of this whole thing is that, you know, if everybody was doing the right thing, we wouldn't be where we are right now.
It's a good point from Jeff Chedia, and I think it's an interesting look. I also am very skeptical. In fact, I just would say I don't buy the idea that this is some master plan from the Patriots. I just think we're going to continue seeing guys opt out up until the deadline, and it'll all come together, and we're going to have to deal with a whole bunch of challenges that it would be better to just been able to avoid entirely, that we certainly weren't just able to avoid entirely leading up into this NFL season. So a lot of questions, and certainly a lot of talk about Damian Williams we'll get to tonight on Almost Entirely Sports in a little over 10 minutes from now. In the meantime, though, we'll take a break. More with Ali Trost, more NFL Live Kansas City next here on Sports Radio 810.
Hello and welcome back into NFL Live KC. I'm Allie Trost. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB, and this show is brought to you by our friends at Miller Lite. A big thanks to Joshua Briscoe for the update in the last segment there. And if you're just now tuning in, want to catch up on anything that you might have missed tonight, we talked with Ben Heisler of Sports Illustrated about how the coronavirus pandemic is going to affect fantasy football, the gambling world, and so much more. Get his thoughts on sleepers, overrated picks this year, and a ton of other great stuff from Ben. We also heard some sound from Rick Burkholder, who is the Vice President of Sports Medicine and Performance, as well as the Infectious Control Officer for the Kansas City Chiefs this season, about how the team is keeping their facilities safe for training camp in 2020. So that is what we talked about here tonight, and if you want to go catch up on anything that I just listed or anything else that you might have missed, you want to go share it, you can go find the podcasted version of this show here tonight on our website at 810WHB.com. Go to the podcast section, and underneath additional programming is where you will find this show. But to close things out, I want to play an interview between Kyle Brandt of NFL Network and Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers quarterback, about NFL Draft Night 2020. Because while this was a night that was, for many teams, one full of excitement for the rookies pursuing their NFL dreams and getting that call, the best night of their lives, for Aaron Rodgers, he got probably the worst sign of all that a team can send to someone, and that is when the Packers traded up to select Jordan Love, the quarterback out of Utah State, at number 26, basically telling Aaron Rodgers to go, and you know how that saying goes. Like many, I thought that the Packers would be trading up to select one of the many wide receivers left on the board. That ended up, as we know, not being the case. Jordan Love, potentially Aaron Rodgers' quarterback replacement in the years to come. But here's Aaron Rodgers really opening up about that night and what it could mean going forward for his career.
Big Rodge gets up there with the card, the commissioner. With the 26th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Green Bay Packers select Jordan Love, quarterback, Utah State. What's your reaction?
Well, and I said this in the interview. I was, a few weeks after that, I was definitely surprised. You know, when they drafted up, you know, I was watching the draft and thinking about which receiver might be there at that time. And I think there was a run on him there in the early 20s. And a kid from LSU, who I loved watching, went, I think, to Minnesota in the early 20s. I knew the kid from Clemson was still there and enjoyed watching him as well. I didn't know maybe as much about him. And the kid from Arizona State as well, I think they liked him. And, you know, his teammate was with us, Manny Wilkins, a quarterback. So when they traded up, I was definitely a little perked up a little bit. And then I got a text because everything's so delayed. I got a text from my agent, Mark, an agent who I love, and he said he just texted quarterback, and I was like, oh wow, okay. So I love scotch, but I've been drinking some sipping tequila lately as well,
right?
And once I got that text, I went to the pantry, I poured myself about four fingers, and I knew it was gonna be one of those nights where the people are gonna start calling and there's gonna be hey, you know, everything fine, you okay? I'm like, yeah, fine. Like, you know, I wasn't elated by the pick, you know, especially being one game away from the Super Bowl and feeling like we're a couple players away. But, at the same time, I understand it's a business. I know that's a reality, but, I will say, you know, I definitely, as much as people want to make parallels to certain things, you know, in 2004, the Packers were, 10-6 and lost in the first round of the playoffs. We were 13-3 and, you know, one game from the Super Bowl, won a playoff game at home, obviously won our division, a little different circumstance, not to mention that Brett had talked about retiring for a few years before that. So, you know, I've talked about playing in my 40s. So when people start talking about the parallels to this and that, well, I fell at 24. They traded up and drafted, drafted Jordan. So like I see the parallels based on age for sure. And I think it was important for me to go through that experience to understand really what he's going through and what he's going to be thinking when we're going through a season together. But, that's basically it. I poured myself some tequila and FaceTimed and talked to a bunch of people that night. And the next day I called Jordan because I just want to make sure he knew that, you know, I know what he was thinking. You know, I know what he was going through, and it's the last thing you want is to deal with any negativity around like realizing a childhood dream. So I just told him, "Congrats, man! I understand what you're going through, man. It's super exciting. I'm excited to work with you, which I am. And I understand it's a business. I understand the nature of the business, and not here abdicating my spot by any means. That's not going to happen. But I understand how the business works and that's basically what happened.
So when you're sitting around just over the last few months, scotch, tequila, whatever, at some point there's like a ridiculous decision that has to be made, because if you're just you and you can stay healthy, the team has to either choose about we're going to move on from Aaron Rodgers, which is sounds nuts, or we're just not going to play our first round draft pick. How does this end?
I think probably the former. I think that's probably what happens. Based on, you know, just the circumstances around everything, you know, you look at, just look at the facts, you know, they traded up, they drafted them. I would say they like them. They want to play them. It's a different environment. You know, in 2005, my first year we were 4-12, second year we were 8-8. There wasn't a clamoring, you know, to, to play me because it was normal for young guys to sit. You know, in the third year, 07, we go 13-3. We're, you know, one play, we're overtime in the NFC Championship playing at home against the Giants from going to the Super Bowl. Different scenario. You know, now I think quarterbacks are playing earlier. It gives, you know, gives some latitude for young coaches and GMs to, you know, to play their guys. And I get it. I really do. Like, I don't harbor any ill will about it. Like, was I bummed out? Of course. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't be? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I wanted to play my entire career in Green Bay. I love the city. I grew up there. Really, I was 21. I'm 36 now. You know, a lot changes during that time. But look, I get it. I see it completely clearly. And I'm not bitter about it. It just kind of is what it is.
Last question, then we'll move on. The idea that you've conceded, you know, maybe I don't end up with the same team. When you're late at night in the summer and you're sitting out on your back deck or you're lying in bed and it's just been a long night and you're you alone with your thoughts and you're picturing yourself with another team, how do you look in a Bears uniform?
Oh, man, that's a tough thought right there, man.
So there it was, Aaron Rodgers' very honest interview with Kyle Brandt of NFL Network on draft night when the Green Bay Packers traded up to select quarterback Jordan Love out of Utah State with the number 26 pick. And you know what? Drinking a stiff glass of tequila isn't the worst way to maybe numb the pain there. And like Rodgers said, and I think what many of us were thinking when we saw the Packers trade up with the Miami Dolphins in that trade, that they'd pick a receiver, that they'd finally get Aaron Rodgers the weapons that he needed to make it happen. They were one win away from going to the Super Bowl last year, but the Packers are going with their game plan, and whether or not that sees Aaron Rodgers out here in a couple of years is yet to be seen, but I think all signs, if we're looking at the context clues, that's what it looks like. But that's going to do it for us on the show here tonight, this Wednesday edition of NFL Live KC, brought to you by Miller Lite on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Allie Trost. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. Hopefully this show does not make you want to go and grab a stiff glass of tequila, or maybe it does, but hopefully in a good way. If you missed anything on the show tonight, you want to go back and catch up on the fantasy talk that we had with Ben Heisler of Sports Illustrated, his tips with the fantasy football drafts coming up, sports gambling, how the coronavirus pandemic will affect all of those things. Great stuff from Ben. He has phenomenal analysis, so go ahead and follow him at Benny Heiss on Twitter. And if you want to just listen back to this entire show, hour-long segment every weeknight, 7 to 8 p.m. on Sports Radio 810 with different hosts, myself on Wednesdays, Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, Todd Lebo, Joshua Briscoe. We are always bringing you the best NFL news and analysis, especially as it relates to our Kansas City Chiefs right here in Kansas City. But you can go catch the podcast online at 810WHB.com. Go to the podcast section under additional programming, and that is where you can find the entire hour of this show. You can download it, share it, enjoy it with a nice Miller Lite or the Aaron Rodgers way with a stiff glass of tequila. Thank you again for listening. I'm Allie Trost, and we will see you right back here next week on Wednesday night for another edition of NFL Live KC. Have a good one.